I know that Bob announced that we have Super Sunday in 2 weeks, is it in 2 weeks? It is in 2 weeks. So, again, Super Sunday is in 2 weeks. We all know what we're supposed to do, right? What'd you say, Dennis? Bring 12 people and 3 dishes. So, you know, 5 fish and 2 loaves, you got 12. Matter of fact, you got 5 dishes and 2 people. How about that? Or 2 people and 5 dishes, whatever y'all want to do. But you need to bring, so when you go home today, if you have not called your friends, you call them and say, I want you to come to church with me on the 5th. And tell them they get free dinner, free lunch, and the whole thing. So just call. And some of you have already sent cards and asked people, and we appreciate that. I want to try to get 400 people here. We have tried that for 2 years. It hasn't happened. So we'll try it again. And if we don't do it, well, then we'll have to try again the next year. But I'd rather just get it done so we can say we did it. And then we'll just raise the number for next year. But I do have a couple of requests. When you do come in 2 weeks, we need everybody to move farther up front. So all I'm asking is wherever you're sitting now, I know some of you are saying, I've already moved up front, and I got it. One more row, okay? Just you know, and I know that's like pulling, I got it. But we got people coming in, so we want to be able to do that. Second, if you can, and if you use a handicapped spot, I'm not talking to you. If you think you're of the older age, then I'm not talking to you. But if you can, if you would park in the front, like that side over there, because we got a lot of parking over there and not a lot of parking over here on the side where the offices are. So if you can, and you know, we're limited over there. In the front, we got tons. So if you think about it and you can, and you feel like parking kind of farther away and getting your steps in, I know some of us have the Fitbit, we want our 10,000 steps. Well, hey, just an opportunity for you to get more steps in. So park farther away, park in the front, and come in. That way it'll allow more space for visitors and other people if they can come in. So that's in 2 weeks. Please, everybody, remember, bring people, bring dishes. If you're planning on being gone, change your plans and make sure you're here. So that's the first thing. The second thing, we have a group of ladies who teach who pretty much run our children's church. You hear us announce that, you know, every week if you want to be dismissed to children's church. Rachel Sawyer is pretty much running the show. I know Jacqueline's back there a lot, Rebecca, Sarah, but they need some help. We've had at times almost 50 kids that are now downstairs helping, so they need bodies. They need, like, you know, bouncers or, you know, security detail. You don't have to do a lot. You're just with them. You know, most of y'all know Rachel. Most of y'all know Jacqueline. They've been here a long time. I know Rebecca. You know Sarah. You know Jocelyn. You know these girls. They're doing a lot of good things. And I'm just going to be honest with y'all. If you want to be, you know, people come to church and they want to see a church that's growing, a church that has kids, that's great. We got a lot of pregnant people. And we like growing our own now. But we also want to, you know, invite others. And I know this means we got to do stuff we've never done. I've got a clipboard here. I'm going to start with Dennis and Sarah that's right here. And it's got a date for the next, I think it's like 48 weeks. And there's 3 slots next to each date. If you could put your name down on whatever slots, we need 3 people per slot. So if you do 52 times 3, I'm not a math major, but I think that's 156, I think. So we need 156 bodies over the next year. We've got some people. Maybe you're the kind of person that says, hey, I'll do it once a month. I can do it the first Sunday of the month or the second Sunday of the month or the third. Maybe you're just the person that says, I want to do it once. Cool. Do it once, like 4 more times. You know, just put your name down. And, if you don't, I don't have a schedule. Hey, just pick a date and put your name down and then put that in your schedule. How about that? Okay? So put it far enough ahead. I'm going to be honest with y'all. If we don't get enough people, we can't do it. I'm not one of those guys who says, hey, we only have half the volunteers. Let's just do it really poorly. I'm not one of those people. So if we can't do something right, let's just not do it. You understand? I want to be able to do something well. When people come in and they see a program that can't be run, it looks worse than if we didn't have it. Y'all know what I mean? So we need to do it well. If you can put your name, great. If you can't put your name, think about it some more and put your name. We just need some bodies. I don't know how to teach. Most of y'all in here have had kids. Y'all know how to do this. You may think, well, in the old school way of doing things, they don't let us do that now. I didn't say that. Just put your name down. Rachel will tell you what to do. Rachel Sawyer has no problem telling any of you what to do. I promise you. Okay? Jacqueline has no problem. Rebecca has no problem telling any of you what to do. I promise. They tell me what to do, all right? Just put your name down. We're going to also give it to some of our brothers and sisters over there down the hall. If we don't get enough names, we'll pass it around again. So we just need us to put some names after all that. Wow, 9:45. All right. We'll just do like a streamlined kind of thing. Dennis put my name down for three. Appreciate that, Dennis. So this past week I took one of the kids to the doctor. I know some of you have same experience already. And she gave me a prescription. She told me the pills I had to get for the kid. And I already don't like doing this because I got to buy pills for the kid instead of me. So I'm already spending money on somebody besides myself. So I'm already in a selfish mood. She says the pills usually are not any more than $130. So that's cool. That's for a month. I know, I'm thinking that's kind of bad, but I know some of you have already told me that some of y'all's medication is, what, $300, $400, $500 for the whole month. So I'm not feeling that bad. Kind of mad, not so much, sort of kind of. She said, where's your pharmacy? I said, Walgreens. She said, well, you can do that, but Walmart's the cheapest pharmacy if you want to go there. I said, shoot, send it to Walmart. I was in Mount Juliet, okay? So she sent me to Mount Juliet. I go to the Mount Juliet Walmart. I go to the counter. There's a guy behind the counter. This particular set of drugs, I got to have a card in my hand with a number on it. The pharmacy has to have a card with their number on it. The doctor has to have a number on it. All three numbers have to be put down, okay? So I get there. I wait in line. Takes about 20 minutes. Finally get to the window. Give the person my card. Tell him what it is. He says, well, the doctor called it in, but it's not ready yet. I said, how long would it take? He said, about 20 minutes. I said, good. I'll go shop. I'll come back. So I went, did some shopping, came back. I got to stand in line again. Okay, so I stand in line for another 20 minutes. So now I've been there about 450-ish, 55 minutes at Walmart, which is, y'all already know, is a bad idea. I get up there, say, is my medicine ready? He said, we hadn't ran it yet. That's what I said. I said, huh, okay. When do you think you might run it? He said, well, I'm having trouble finding my card. The pharmacy needs a card to run the medicine. I said, well, how long do you think that'll take? He said, I don't know. There's a lot of people behind you. If I can get them in, then I'll get to you. I said, no, I don't think so. You see, I've been here for like an hour. I'm already a little upset, and I need my drugs, okay? Because I need to leave. I don't want to stay in Walmart. That came out bad, but y'all understand what I'm saying. I said, I don't want to stay in Walmart any longer than I have to. Then people write, and y'all know, it's, when I get upset, my English just goes to pot. Pronouns, contractions. I said, them people right there can just hold on. And I said, you're gonna do me right now, okay? You know, I get animated and emotional when I get upset, okay? The guy says, all right, fine. So he does it, and he says, I can't find my card. I said, that's not my problem. You need to come up with a card, make up a card, I don't care. So he gets his binder, he's going through it, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just staring at him over the counter like this. And I'm edging closer over the counter. I said, that's it right there. It's in the binder. He said, well, that's where it's supposed to be, but my card's not there. He said, how about you go somewhere else? I said, how about I take your fingers and bend it back to your elbow? Now, I didn't say that. And this is the whole point I'm telling you this story. I didn't say that because a voice in my head said, don't say that. There's a voice. Didn't sound like a cricket. It was just a voice. But he said, why don't you go somewhere else? And I went, no, I need my drugs. So he said, sir, with your insurance is $385. That's funny because the doctor told me it was no more than $130. And I like the doctor. I asked it. I trust the doctor. That's what the doctor told me. He said, sir, I don't know what to tell you, but that's just what it is. I was there for almost 2 hours. I left, called the doctor. I'm really upset. My voice is raised another octave. I'm outside Walmart, flailing my hands. She said, Mr. Toon, I've called it into the Walmart in Lebanon. If you go to the Walmart in Lebanon, because we found this drug for $129 at Costco, and the Walmart in Lebanon will honor that price. I said, great. I went the next day. Next day, I got to the Walmart in Lebanon, waited 20 minutes, got up there. They gave me the prescription. She says, sir, it'll be $360. So I took the cart that I had in my hand, and I rolled it into the aisles. Now, I didn't do that because there was a voice in my head that said, don't do that.
I wanted to, but there was a voice in my head that said that. I said, ma'am, the doctor said that it would honor Costco. She said, we do, except there's not a Costco in Lebanon. Yeah, some of y'all y'all already had experience with this. I said, okay, I called the doctor again. She said, we've sent in a coupon. We've got you a coupon if you'll go to CVS. I went to CVS right after I left home. I walked into CVS, gave him the coupon. She said, sir, she said, she looked at it. She said, but you've been here before. You've been to CVS before. I said, so what? She said, we already have you on file that you have insurance. I said, so what? She said, this coupon is only for those who don't, yeah, that's what I said, have insurance. And so I burned CVS to the ground. I didn't really do that. There was a voice in my head that said, don't burn this place to the ground, but I wanted to. I told you all that, all three, in the span of 48 hours, okay? All of that. And I keep telling y'all, there are things I wanted to do that were in my head. Remember we talked about temptation a few weeks ago? Remember I said temptation is something you want to do, okay? I was tempted to start a fire. I was tempted with physical violence. I was tempted. Really, I was tempted a lot. And some of you say, well, you know, you just let the anger get. My anger didn't get the best of me. I got the best of my anger, sort of. I didn't do it because there was a voice in my head that said, don't do it. We call that what? A conscience. We call that a conscience. And I know a lot of people think that the Bible really doesn't talk about conscience, but the Bible does talk quite a bit about us kind of taking charge of our life and listening to things. In 2014, there was a family in Wales. They heard a knock at the door. When they opened the door, the young man said, my name is Jason Williams. And on New Year's Eve, while you slept, someone broke into your house and stole a few of your possessions. And that person was me. I'd like to pay for everything I stole. The family appreciated the honesty, but they still called the police. Now, Jason wasn't given jail time, but he was still given punishment. Now, some people thought Jason was crazy because nobody knew who he was. You know, nobody knew that he's the one who stole all the stuff. And they asked Jason afterwards, and Jason said this line, which is what made me think about this topic. Jason said, sleeping at night is worth more to me than the money I stole. A conscience will not only stop you from doing something you shouldn't do, but will hound you to go and make amends for burning it down. Y'all understand? If you think that the conscience doesn't play a part, I want you to think about the story that we had last week about Herod Antipas. You remember he kills John the Baptist? And Matthew, I don't think, mentions this, but in Mark 6, Mark tells us something. It says, King Herod heard about all that Jesus had done. This is Mark 16:14. Because Jesus' name were well known. Some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that's why the miraculous powers are at work for him. Others said he's Elijah, and still others claimed he's like a prophet from long ago. But when Herod heard this, Herod said, John has been raised from the dead. Why do y'all think that Herod thought this was John the Baptist raised from the dead? Because Herod did something he shouldn't have done, and he knew it was something he shouldn't have done. Church, a conscience is a God-given internal monitor of human behavior. Okay, you don't have to know that to pass a test, but God has given you an internal monitor. Now, let me tell you this part. Not everybody agrees with me, and it's okay. It won't be the first or last time. A conscience is not infallible, okay? Because it's a product of education. Your conscience grows as you get more educated. But a conscience is fundamental for you to live honorably, ethically, and spiritually. Let me show you a couple texts. In Proverbs chapter 3, this is verses 21 through 26, Solomon says, my son, I want you to preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament of grace around your neck. A quick decision has a consequence for the rest of your life. And it is that internal cricket in there that will tell you to stop. And this morning, I guess what I'm asking you is, are you listening to it? Because the conscience is a spirit-driven mechanism. God's put it in Christian folk. He's put it in non-Christian folk. I didn't say it's the spirit or not the spirit, but I think it's God-given to remind our bodies this is a bad idea. You get this when you grow up. You know, you get taught things. But even when you're not taught, that conscience kicks in. I'll show you another text. Hebrews chapter 10 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Over a year ago, I saw an accident happen, and the reason I saw the accident happen is because the driver didn't observe the yellow light. I found out that more accidents are caused by this little light than any other accident in our country. And I thought it's because we all just ran light. You know, we just didn't see it. What I discovered is that over 86% of all yellow light accidents happen because people think they can beat the yellow. I want you to think of the yellow light as a conscience. Yellow light kicks on. What do we think we can do? Beat it. Speed up. It's okay. We don't listen to it. If you see a yellow light pretty far away, sometimes some of us start to look to the sides to see, well, I'm going to end up running it, but y'all know the four-letter answer we usually come up with, isn't it? No cop, no stop. Where's Justin Vaughn? Any other police in here? I don't know. Will? Okay, then we all speaking honestly, right? No cop, no stop, right? Right? Or does your conscience kick in? Say, whoa, you might not want to try to beat that. But do we not try to do it because we see the cars, or do we not try to do it because we know it's wrong? And church, if you're not trying to do it because you don't see a cop or because you don't see cars, you've progressed. You've graduated from the little bitty voice. And now you're not thinking so much anymore. I had a little girl. She's 9 years old. I asked her what a conscience is, and this is what she said. She said, something. She didn't say something. It's just something. She says, something that makes you tell your mommy before your brother do. You like that? I love it. I love it. I wrote it down because I think that is really what the something. Remember, it's something. It's not something. It's just something that makes you tell your mommy before your brother do. You know you've done wrong, and you need to go fix this. Let me quote Martin Luther King Jr. He says, there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, that is neither politic, that is neither popular, but we take it because it's right. John the Baptist did that. He took a position because that little voice in his head told him, this, John, is wrong. You need to say something. And Herod's voice speaks up because he knows he's messed up. Everybody in this room this morning has an internal meter. All of you do. And there is a sermon that was written. I don't steal sermons because mostly I think mine are better than everybody else's. Just being honest. But there was a sermon that was written almost 600 years ago. Pretty good. And this guy who did this sermon he called him the seven steps of the conscience. Maybe some of y'all have heard it, not because y'all are alive 600 years ago, but just you've heard the sermon. I'd never heard it, but I saw it, and I thought, wow, that's pretty good. I wanted to share it with you. It's 600 years old, okay? So I guess the patent has worn out. I can take it from it. And he recorded the seven steps, he calls it, of killing thy conscience. So here's the seven steps, all right? Because we all start the same, and over time, something starts to happen. So here we go. Run through it real quick here. Step number one, the nudge. You feel the nudge of the devil. You feel the nudge of that spiritual compass. It's that voice. It's just nudging you. It's just nudging you. It's just telling you. You need to stop, or maybe you need to tell mommy before brother do. Okay? It's just a nudge. But when you get past the nudge, y'all ever been to New York City? Y'all ever been to China? What am I asking? You ever been downtown Nashville? I don't know, on Saturday night? Okay. Everybody just touching you? No, I don't do well in situations like that. Surprise, surprise. Just cramped in, people moving and stuff. But after a while, I just get used to it. I got friends who live in New York City. I said, how do you not lose your mind in the city? He said, you get used. You just get used to people sweating in your coffee. That's what I said. I said, ugh. I don't know if I ever get used to that. Can you imagine? Just, drip, drip. Just get used to it. I'll take Tennessee. I'll take Lebanon or Nashville, Annie. I'll take all that. I think you get used to the nudge. Over time, you don't feel it no more, do you? You know, remember when you first ran that yellow light? And it was, hoo-hoo, no cop, no, Justin is here. Hey, Justin. Somebody called Justin. But, forget what I said about now. So you flew right by, and then it got easier, didn't it? It got easier to run the yellow light. Maybe you decided to cheat. Maybe you decided last year, we didn't report that on the taxes. Hey, and by the time you get audited, I've been doing that for years. The nudge. But you get to the second step, and the second step is the decision. Sometimes you get nudged. Don't do that, but you ignore the nudge, and you actually make the decision. You decide to do it anyway. Jesus says, whoever looks at a woman with the intent, has already committed adultery in his heart. You've already decided. You're on the way. You've decided. Number three, the quest. So I've felt the nudge, I've made the decision, and now I start looking for ways to get what I want. In all three Gospels, it speaks of Judas Iscariot, and all three say that Judas went looking for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. In fact, the Greek is he kept looking for an opportunity. He's always looking. How did Judas get there? Because he doesn't feel the nudge. He's already made the decision, and now he's looking. Step four. You've made the decision. You've been looking, and then it gets the sickness. You know you did something wrong. You know it. Like Judas. And you try to return those 30 pieces. You feel bad. But, later, opportunity presents itself again. And step five is the repeat. Felt the nudge. You don't really feel it anymore. You made the decision. It got pretty easy. You started looking for it, and so now it comes really easy. And then you were sick about it, but the opportunity came again, and so we just did it again. And step six, which I think is the worst, the numbness. We no longer feel bad anymore. We just do it like it's second nature. And finally, the last, conversion. It's not good enough for me to. It's not good enough for me to do something bad. I want to feel better about it, so I convince you to do it with me. When I was standing in line at the second Walmart, and some guy came up in the cart behind me, and I turned around, I said, "Hope you got nowhere to be. Hope you plan on being here for a long time, because you've walked into a place that likes to just suck your life away, minute." After minute, after minute. The guy said, I know, I come here every week. He said, I just have it in my schedule just to go to Walmart. I just have it in there because I know I'm just going to wait. I said, yeah. And then somebody else came up and me and him said, hope you plan on being here. We're going to start a riot in here. It's not enough for me to be a jerk. I need to convince other people to be jerks, because if everybody's a jerk, I don't feel so bad, right? Y'all see what I'm saying? See how easy it is? It went so easy from me. I didn't burn it down. I didn't threaten anybody, but I can sure get everybody else on my side. You see that progression? That's how you kill the conscience. You kill it. It's talking to you. Spirit's talking to you, church. You ignore it. You do it anyway. And you start looking for ways. Then you make the decision. You feel bad, but hey, you got another opportunity to run that yellow light. Justin's not here, so got easier. And now you don't feel so bad. I've been running yellow lights my whole life. Well, it doesn't make it any less wrong, does it? You ever been doing something for a long time, you finally get busted, and you don't know why they're getting on your case? I've been doing this for a long time. I don't know why that did that. I've been pulled over 3 times in my life for the exact same offense, unregistered plates on my car. And all three, I let it go months. At one time, it was almost 10 months. Yeah. And he got pulled over, and it was the second time, and it was 10 months. And he said, "I can't believe you haven't been pulled over for this." I said, "Because it's just unregistered tags." He said, "It's just unregistered tags." I said, "Yeah, it's just unregistered tags. It's just something for you guys to make money on." Yep. But you see, and I'm not telling y'all that. I'm telling y'all that you see how far I'd gotten. That I got it in the mail. Oh, we need to do that. After a while, just a nuisance. I killed it. And I know we're just talking about unregistered plates. But where you start will be where you finish. How you feel about the little things will start to develop into the big things. It was just one time. Recently, I counseled a girl who just did something one time. She just did it one time. That's how it started. It was just one time. And now we're trying to count the days that she's clean. But it was just one time. Because she killed her conscience. Brooks read a text I want to return to, and then we're done. Psalm 32. I like this text. David says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, day and night, your hand was heavy upon me." Y'all see that line? "Your hand was heavy upon me." Do y'all know what that is? That's your conscience. That's not Jiminy Cricket. That's God. God nudges you. And there may be some of you here today who are not in the touchy-feely, you know, you don't think God really does that. He does. We give it a secular name, a conscience. Disney tells you it's Jiminy Cricket. I'm telling you, that's God. God is warning you, hey, stay back. David says, "My strength was sapped like the heat of summer." Then David says, "I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave." I think there are some of us in this room who are already on the way to killing our conscience. And this morning, I want to ask all of you, at which step are you? Have you already felt the nudge? You don't feel it anymore? Are you on the quest? Wherever you are, you need to try to figure out where you are on this 7-step process and do a U-turn and go back. Because the longer we stay on this road, the more and more numb we will get. Yesterday, I spent 4 hours pulling up what looked like little bitty twigs in my yard. We have developed this property. This property hasn't been touched since the flood receded, 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Ain't nobody touched these trees. These trees have been, this whole property's been growing on its own forever. And then here I go starting to pull up. But I learned that every little twig is a root that goes clear across the property. So, pulling up one little thing, you're like this the whole time. And I got to do like 15 trees. And there's little twigs on all of them. So what should have been a 3 or 4 hour process turns into 3 days, 8 hours apiece. And then I start talking to them like they're people. Y'all ever do that? "Oh, you think you're somebody, huh? You wait till I get the end of you. I'll cut you off." And I gotten so angry. I'm just sweating. I hadn't ate but a half a sandwich. I've been out there 4 hours. I'm just dripping sweat. I'm yelling at the roots. I'm pulling at them. And then I go get the shears, and I got the shears like this. I said, "I'm going to show you." I said, "I'm going to cut you off." So I'm out there just cutting away. And I was so hot. And then I'm walking across, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a huge wind just, and it was like it was a 40-degree wind. I mean, it was cold. Y'all know how I feel about the cold. I mean, it was like an Arctic wind. It just blew through. You could hear it. It just blew. And it just smacked me. And I was sweating, and so I got a chill. And I look up, and there are no trees moving. None. And I got these shears. And all I said was, I'm by myself, because my family was gone. All I said was, I hear you. Now, did God send that wind? I don't know. I don't know. But I like to think my conscience is starting to talk. And let me end with this. On that seven-step scale, you need to start figuring out which direction you want to go. You want to keep going forward or you want to go backwards? The direction you go will be the direction you feed. Y'all heard the story of which wolf wins, the good wolf or the bad wolf, whichever one you choose to feed. When I left Walmart and got in the car, I realized why I wasn't just angry. I was very angry. So I got in the car, I got my phone, put it back on what I was listening to. Do y'all know what I was listening to that day on my phone? It was a podcast. It was a podcast of a political commentator talking about the failure of our healthcare system. So I was listening for 30 minutes, someone talk about just how bad the healthcare system in America is and why it's such a travesty that we have to go in and pay for this medicine and how the pharmaceutical companies are out to get you. So by the time I went in there, you know, I had just been brainwashed. You know, no wonder I was just, you know, everybody's out to get me. You see what I was feeding? It matters what you listen to. It matters who you listen to. It matters where you walk. It matters where you go. It matters who you hang out with. It matters what you do. Your conscience has to be fed. Who will you feed? Which direction will you go? Where are you? Let's think about those as we stand and sing.